Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And this week we are talking about sensory deprivation. This is an interesting subject. We've touched on here and there in the past. But this time we are talking about the tank. We are talking about the water. We are talking about immersing yourself in what John C. Lilly referred to in the introduction to The Deep Self as the womb to tomb wet box.
Which sounds lovely, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I want that for myself. But I kind of do want that for myself, just because I have seen these wonderful photos of people floating around in the Dead Sea, which is full of water, right?
Live people
with these beatific smiles on their face. And apparently the salt content makes the water so buoyant that it feels like this sort of zero gravity experience. So I've always thought that seems pretty neat. What's the deal with that? Well, you can have that sort of experience, albeit in this sort of tomb-like coffin.
Yes, it is kind of coffin-esque, but I wouldn't, you know, I think of it more of a space sarcophagus.
You know, there are different iterations of it, and some of them look really slick and very much like they would be on some sort of spacecraft. And you know,
yeah, like
20.
I like to think of you know, like those pods that people you know, enjoy hypersleep in the science fiction stories.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So this is, you know, this is this idea of the suspended hibernation. This idea that we could have a forced shutdown of our brain.
Yes.
Without dying. And perhaps there would be some sort of benefit to it. And there's a long tradition of studying this sensory deprivation, which causes this forced shutdown. So we're going to discuss some of that today. And I thought it would probably be helpful to talk a little bit about some of our other podcast episodes before, particularly Splendid Isolation. When we talked about what happens when you are isolated and when your senses are deprived of stimuli. And also touch on the default mode network really quickly.
Yes.
Because we talked about this with the science of hallucinogens. We talked about it with meditation and yoga, this idea that this part of your brain, the default mode network, is causing that constant chatter buzz in your brain, which can sometimes lead to depression.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the brain and its sensory input. I like to think I like to think of it this way, and I invite everyone else out there to think of the most media addicted person in your life. The person who is just, they're constantly on Twitter. They're constantly, you know, checking their Facebook status. They're using Foursquare. They always have earbuds in, fingers typing away. They just have to be connected to all these things. So they're like, they're doing Twitter. They're doing live Twitter updates while they're watching some show on TiVo. Everything is connected. And then what happens when you break them away, if you've ever successfully broken them away from those things? It changes them. There's like a shock that goes through their system, sometimes for the better, maybe sometimes for the worse, but their sensory input has altered, and it has altered how they feel about the world around them and how they interact with the world around them. Well, on a more basic level, sensory deprivation involves robbing the brain of a lot of its inputs. Our brain is constantly chewing on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's chewing on thoughts, and it's chewing on all the sensory input that's coming into us. It's chewing on the sights, the smells, the sounds, the tastes, various other senses that we've just discussed in the past that are further down the list. But it's processing all of this. It's crunching it. It's making sense of the world around it. And what happens when you cut off even one or two or three of those senses?
Well, you see that chatter go down, specifically in the medial prefrontal cortex, the medial parietal cortex, and the medial temporal lobes, because this is where most of the activity occurs when you have repetitive thoughts. It's sort of the cohesive center of self, the ego of the brain. And when you can shut down some of that stimuli, well, then, as we've seen with meditation or with some of these studies with hallucinogens and depression, it gets pretty quiet there. And that is the goal of some of this sensory deprivation.
So, yeah, as we've discussed before, this ties into the basic eye story that ends up clogging up most of our brains all the time, this story that we put ourselves at the center of, and it's the constant chatter that's telling you, hey, you're not doing it right, you're doing it wrong, you're really screwing up this podcast, that kind of thing. And then you have to shut that down in order to properly focus on anything.
That's right. So there are a lot of benefits here for having sensory deprivation in your life, right? But there is a dark side to it. And in order for us to really get to the benefits of plunging yourself into a bunch of water encapsulated by walls around you, we should look at the CIA and some past experiments with sensory deprivation.
Yes, I mean, we've discussed before in our episode, Splendid Isolation, some of the harmful effects of isolation on the human mind, because you can shut off a lot of these inputs and have beneficial effects, as we were going to discuss. But also, the brain can have a tendency to sort of chew on itself in these situations. For instance, prisoners who've been isolated for prolonged periods of time have been known to experience depression, despair, anxiety, rage, claustrophobia, hallucinations, problem with impulse control, and impaired ability to think, concentrate, or remember. Tinnitus, weakening of the immune system, premature menopause, aggressive behaviors in prisoners, volunteers, animals. There's a whole list of dire consequences to shutting oneself off. So, for a long time, it's also been used as a method of interrogation, or even if you want to use a more harsh terminology here, soft torture. What is a way to induce a horrible state upon a human mind without actually resorting to physical violence and physical torture? Well, you just start shutting off the sensory input. You put them in a position where maybe they're not seeing, they're not hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the experiments we were looking at involved even you're like putting the equivalent of thick gloves on or cardboard tubes around the arms so they can't even get any kind of sensation that way. Putting them in a space that essentially just has room for a bed. In some cases, you see the use of hoods, to heavy, thick hoods that also contribute to even more dampening of sound, or the use of white noise earphones to clog the mind with just this constant white noise.
Yeah, I mean, essentially what you're talking about is taking away the chew toys of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you just described a Dr. David Hebb's experiment. He did this, I believe, in the 50s and the 60s. In one study, he had student volunteers at McGill University, where he was the head of psychology, and he put them in an air-conditioned cubicle, as you say, just a room enough for a bed.
Mm-hmm.
He placed goggles, gloves, and earmuffs on them, and then he piped in some white noise. And he had hoped to observe them for up to 6 weeks. That's what he thought he could get out of this. He could see this gradual deterioration of the mind. But it turns out that those students lasted for only 2 days and 24 hours. Hallucinations began in 48 hours. They suffered a complete breakdown. And these students, by the way, were not primed at all for this experience. Nobody was. In fact, the students all came in with this idea that they were going to get a lot of work done. There was one student who was going to work on a presentation. So they thought that they'd have this quiet, nice time for their mind to really dwell in. But once you took away some of these basic stimuli, it just sort of wrecked them.
Yeah, I believe this was the study. It was originally, he was hoping to conduct it for about 6 weeks, and it just did not last that long. Like you said, we're talking, ended up more like a few days at most with the participants.
Yeah, actually, the BBC had a documentary called, or they have a documentary called Alone, the Brain, Sensory Deprivation and Isolation, and it recreated Hebb's experiment, and it just was pretty awful. In fact, the person who suffered the most was a comedian who was so used to the sort of back and forth of stimuli with his fellow humans that, you know, he was the first to fall apart.
Yeah, star of a comedian, of his or her audience, and there are going to be dire consequences.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about these sensory deprivation tanks that we encounter today. If you live in a larger area, chances are there's at least one that you might be able to find in your area. I know in the Atlanta area, there seems to be mainly one place to go. I understand in New York City, even, there are only a handful of possibilities. Some individuals who are really into sensory deprivation may own their own tanks, and there are people out there who will sell you one.
Michael Crichton, by the way, has one.
He had one?
He has one.
Well, he's dead.
Sorry, he had one.
Though there are various interpretations of what that might consist of. But in a sense, he does have one now, I think. I don't know the details of his burial, but...
I mean, you know, define has.
Yeah.
Right? Was this rearranged atoms?
But that makes sense. You know, he was a thoughtful individual. I can imagine him... he probably had to get an extra big one, though. He was a very tall man.
I don't know, but I mean, apparently this was something that was, or this is very helpful to people in the arts, also athletes as well.
Yeah, a lot of the benefits, which we'll get into here, involve benefits to creative individuals who are trying to think creatively about various tasks, individuals who sustain various injuries or bodily trauma, people dealing with depression, if it's coupled with the right amount of psychotherapy as well. But what are we talking about here? A sensory tank is essentially the Dead Sea inside of a container, like we were talking earlier. The idea that you're going to have a salty broth to float in, and the chamber itself is soundproof. There's no light. You're just floating as if in the womb.
Yes, and
a salty womb.
And this is from the Samadhi manufacturer, one of the manufacturer of these tanks, says the float tank is a little larger than a twin-size bed and about chest high. It contains 10 inches of water to which so much Epsom salts have been added that when you get in and lie on your back, you are pushed to the surface so that you float like a cork, weightless as an astronaut in space. Now, when they talk about a lot of salt here, they're talking about 800 pounds of Epsom salt in this pool here. There is a lightweight door that you can leave open, or if you want to get rid of the distractions of noise and light, you can close the door. You can also put earplugs in, which purportedly helps with not getting the water into your ears.
Yeah, and it's sound canceling and all, I believe. And also worth noting, you mentioned the door. The door is not locked. You're not sealed in here like a tomb. So if you do have a need to get out, be it physical or mental, it's easy to do so.
Okay, so the cool thing about this, though, in case you're a germaphobe, is that between floating sessions, the water is filtered and sterilized with UV light on a regular basis, and hydrogen peroxide is poured into the water for, of course, more hygienic
reasons.
Yeah,
so it's not like just a giant foot bath at a cheap nail salon.
Exactly. Yeah. So if someone pees in the pool, don't worry about that.
I can imagine asking that when one goes in. You know, is it okay to pee in the... In the isolation chamber, in the sensory deprivation chamber.
I dare you.
No, I will not bring it up. But, I mean, it might be in the literature when you sign up. I mean, I should have mentioned earlier, I've not used one of these yet, but I do intend to at some point.
Yeah, we both are going
maybe
to
on
do
the
this.
Sign, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but we wanted to go ahead and cover it in the podcast right now and talk about it, talk about sort of the limited studies that surround this, and then have the experience maybe talk about it later.
Yeah, and then we can draw in personal experience.
Yeah, we don't want to prime our brains too much. But anyway, these things, they gained popularity in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. In the 80s, they started to wane a bit, but they have made a resurgence.
Excellent. Yeah, because you did have that first... first real push for the sensory deprivation tank, especially based on the work of John C. Lilly, mm-hmm. Dr. Sudfeld. We'll be getting into these guys in a bit. And I guess like a lot of these things, it dies out for a little bit, and then people get older. Maybe the isolation tank just becomes a place where you store some tools. Just sets empty in the backyard, and occasionally you have to explain it to some guests. But now you have people that are rediscovering exactly what this technology or methodology can do for one.
Yeah, and we will dive into the tank in a moment. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we will talk about John C. Lilly, the patron saint of LSD and dolphin science, and we'll be right back.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back, and let's talk a little bit about John C. Lilly. We have discussed him in one episode in detail, and he's come up a time or two since then. We probably mentioned him a couple of times in detail, because John C. Lilly made his name in the field of electronic brain stimulation, in the field of dolphin communication, and in the field of just progressively crazier and eventually unfunded research.
Yeah, but although he started out being funded by the Naval Institute and by the National Institute of Mental Health, but yes, as you say, his studies, his experiments became a little bit more fringe. Well, of course, he lost his funding.
Yes.
But this is someone who was steeped in science, at least pure science in the beginnings, and then it kind of got muddled.
Yeah, I would argue that he never ceased being a very brilliant, thought-provoking man. It's just in the early stages, he was more of a pure scientist, and his work and his curiosity became more and more esoteric as the decades rolled on.
And well, in the influence of his own studies of LSD,
yes,
which he used himself as a subject quite a bit.
Yeah, generally, combining sensory deprivation tank with a large amount of LSD to create the expected results, as he attempted to at times communicate with dolphins, and not only dolphins as we know them, but dolphins as this kind of pan-dimensional creature.
Remember, too, this is the guy who took a two-bedroom house and he submersed it in water and put one of his female research assistants in with a dolphin. And the dolphin and the female had a sort of relationship, and I will leave it at that. But so this is someone who's thinking outside of the box and
now,
the tank.
Yes, now his tank was pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
This is, the older days, the early days, the cowboy days of sensory deprivation tanks, where you really needed to go out and build your own, design your own, and figure out exactly what the specs were going to be. So, temperature regulated, salt filled, soundproof, light proof tank. And in this one, there was no just sort of gently floating on top of the water. You were submerged, up to the very top of your head.
Yeah, this is the pre-salt one.
Yeah.
160 gallons of water.
Yes. And so your head is basically encased in this this latex mask, like wrapped in latex with these breathing holes coming out front from it. It's called a blackout mask, and it looked if you imagine something that you might see in, say, a Nine Inch Nails video from the 90s, or at some sort of a fetish club or something, then this is about what the blackout mask looked like.
Yeah, I was thinking about the GIMP from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a GIMP mask as designed by Dr. Seuss.
Yes, right, because that's where the air hose connected to the pump comes in, the Seussian part,
yeah.
I think.
Or if you've ever seen anyone getting some sort of like monster makeup for a movie, and they put the straws in and they coat them completely, it's that level of just wrapping your head up and cutting off all of the sensory equipment from the outside world. In addition to being in this lightless, soundproof tank, and possibly on LSD.
Right. But the nice part of this is that the water, I think you had mentioned, is kept at 34 degrees Celsius or 99 degrees Fahrenheit, so it was nice and warm.
Yeah, contrary to the description there, it was not a torture method. It was just an ability to, again, shut down the sensory input to the brain and go on this journey of self-discovery or pan-dimensional communication.
Yeah, and so later on, though, of course, Lilly figured out that he could just fill this tank with a bunch of salt and have people float to the top. They didn't have to wear their latex masks because, of course, people were bothered by that, and he could still have his experiments. And also, by the way, this tank was then sort of, as you described, more of like a sarcophagus. So then you have no light source, and you have the sort of quietude that you need. to have the sensory deprivation.
Yeah. Now, he wrote a lot about the womb-to-tomb wet box. And with Lilly, like a lot of people who get into some crazy stuff, it's also easy to just discount him and say, oh, well, that's just a crazy old man in a tank of water doing drugs. But a lot of what he said, even, you know, as he went further down the fringe path, a lot of it still lines up with what we know about the inner workings of the human mind, about the default mode network. One quick quote here from his book. At the highest level of Satori, from which people return, the point of consciousness becomes a surface or a solid which extends through the whole universe. It was in this state that I experienced myself as melded and intertwined with hundreds of billions of other beings in a thin sheet of consciousness that was distributed around the galaxy, a membrane. So, on one hand, that does sound like maybe a lot of hippy-trippy nonsense, but this idea of voices shutting down, of your consciousness becoming like a single featureless plane lines up with a lot of what we know about just having a calm mind, about calming the mind, about shutting down the default network.
Well, I was thinking about his experience and then other people's experiences minus the LSD and how they all share that sort of overview effect that astronauts sometimes experience when they look at the Earth. And they get that sense of unity and the shedding of the self, the shedding of the ego.
Yeah.
So that's something that his experience has in common with a bunch of other people. But again, most people who have undergone the sensory deprivation in the tank do not have that experience that he had, where he had the conferences of the three entities.
Right.
Or whatever sort of aliens or other beings that came to him. So that probably was part and parcel of the hallucinogens that he was taking.
But as we've discussed with hallucinations before, there are hallucinations and there are hallucinations. There are drug-induced hallucinations, but there are hallucinations produced just entirely by non-illicit methods.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about that. I was thinking that when you don't have the stimuli, just like when we talked about Lilliputian hallucinations, the brain will make something up. So, yeah, you're right. There are degrees to it, and there are sources of it.
Yeah, I was actually looking at a 2004 study that found that during prolonged blindfolding experiments with sighted individuals, they experienced visual hallucinations.
Wow.
And then there was a 2009 study from the Department of Clinical, Educational, and Health Psychology, University College London, where they found that just 15 minutes of near total sensory deprivation was enough to trigger vivid hallucinations in many of its test subjects.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, no LSD required. When dealing with a sensory deprivation tank. And that's one of the appeals to some users of it.
Okay, is that the anechoic chamber, the 2009 study? I think I had read the same thing about the 15-minute.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yeah. Which is a sort of different stimulation or lack of stimulation, which we'll talk about in an upcoming episode. But that's interesting to know that just taking out that one bit would induce hallucinations. So enter Dr. Peter Sudfeld.
Yes, this is another individual who has had a lot to say and a lot of influence on our modern understanding of sensory deprivation. He quickly fell in love with the technology, the methodology, and was certainly one of the individuals who owns his own tank.
Well, you know, too, that he, when he was a lad in school, he actually underwent some sensory deprivation studies, and that's how he got interested in it himself. And so that fueled his interest in the field, and he received his PhD from Princeton and headed the psychology departments of Rutgers and the University of British Columbia, where he ran tank studies for years in the labs there. And his work has led him to be a consultant with NASA and the Canadian Space Agency regarding the effects of long-duration space flights in monotonous environments, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, running labs in something with this womb-to-tomb instrument is going to give you a lot of data on that.
Right, because what is a spaceship, or what is a space station, but a kind of sensory deprivation chamber? You're cut off from the world, you're cut off from a lot of your senses, and a lot of your senses are altered in one way or another. So it's a great way to study what this is like and what it will be like, you know, presumably when we start dealing with longer-term journeys or stays in space.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, Sudfeld studies have shown that tank sessions can be used to treat autonomic nervous system problems like chronic pain, high blood pressure, and motion disorders. Of course, motion disorder would be really great in space, right? He also claims that the tank shifts our brain's focus from its dominant to its non-dominant hemisphere, which has various benefits. He says in a Slate article about floating by Seth Stevenson, quote, "But God only knows why hemisphere balance is affected. We can't yet fit a brain scanner in a tank or get the scanner wet for that matter."
Yeah, that's definitely one of the limitations on studying the effects of this. You can't get the scanner in the tank. But his work has been pretty impressive in that he has not gone in the direction of communicating with dolphin aliens. But indeed, his work has been very interesting in that it has not gone in the direction of communicating with aliens, but mm-hmm. rather with solving some real world problems such as again depression, mental disorders,
chronic pain. Yeah. And I kept thinking when I was looking at the information about the non-dominant hemisphere, about how you switch from your dominant to your non-dominant, about the neuroscientist, and her name escapes me right now, but she has that great TED talk. It's called My Stroke of Insight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she talks about that whole experience about the left and right hemispheres of her brain sort of dissolving. And it reminded me a lot of what people are talking about when they say they have this experience in the tank. This idea that your brain is shutting off and that things are sort of melding into everything else. And so I thought, well, this is a very interesting experiment of the mind. And it will be, once we can fit a brain scanner into a tank, it'll be great to be able to see what is going on to sort of corroborate this.
But just in terms of the relaxation, the stillness of mind that one can experience with a sensory deprivation tank, I found this quote from Sukfield particularly interesting. And this is from Embracing the Void by Seth Stevenson, which is a really fantastic Slate article that deals with sensory deprivation tanks. Highly recommend checking that out. The quote is as follows. We had a Zen master who visited my lab once, and he asked to go into the tank for an hour. Most of his life, he had meditated every day for 4 or 5 hours or more. And he thought the depth of meditation he reached in the tank was on par with a level he reached maybe once a year in his normal meditation environment, which was not exactly the middle of Times Square. He was amazed.
Yeah, and that's, again, this is what comes up again and again. It's this altered state that people are able to achieve. And in a way, it seems a little bit like a cheat, right? Like, okay, yeah. I'm not going to meditate, but I'm going to go into this tank for an hour and mm-hmm. induce a meditative state, an altered state, in which, you know, a lot of my anxiety just melts away. And as a result, you know, this chronic pain I'm experiencing, or this depression is alleviated. Well, good, I say, you know, it's a nice cheat. It's
yeah.
a good cheat. But again, I don't even want to say the problem because it's a problem in the sense that we don't have really good empirical data yet, like brain scans to corroborate a lot of this. But we do have a ton of psychological studies that keep backing it up, keep saying that it does have a beneficial effect on the mind and the body. There is a 2008 study that was published in nova.edu. The title is Sensory Isolation in Flotation Tanks, Altered States of Consciousness and Effects on Well-Being. And that looked at 8 Swedish participants, 6 of whom were female and 2 male, aged 35 to 69. They all had different socioeconomic backgrounds. They had various states of employment. Some people were retired, some people were not. But they all complained of depression, burnout, and chronic pain. And they took these participants who all had experience with floating before, because the idea was, let's just get people in here who can quickly get into the state and who have had experience with it. And let's begin to try to figure out these qualitative categories that we can begin to rely on to mm-hmm. assess the experience. And they came up with like 21 different categories from these really intensive interviews with these 8 participants. Everything from their motivation to float to the types of sensory experiences, like out-of-body experiences, level of relaxation, and then to the extent to which it changed their views on life. And the one thing that kept coming up over and over again is this altered state. It's not just about relaxation. It is a changing of the mind, a changing of the mind's patterns. And they say the results of this study showed that floating as a method generally, that I'm quoting here from the paper, perceived as pleasant and comfortable, that actual pain relief may be achieved and that very deep relaxation may be attained. Furthermore, we show that altered states of consciousness are induced during the session. Examples of experiences during ASC, altered states of consciousness, are visual imagery, acoustic perceptual phenomena, an altered sense of time, a changed bodily sense, perinatal experiences, right, the womb experiences, mm-hmm. and even transpersonal experiences. And they said that in all of these people, these were profound life-altering experiences. And I couldn't help but think about those psilocybin
experiments. Yes, I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, of people who underwent that. And it was a huge percentage of that study who said this was the number one life-altering experience for me, the psilocybin.
Yeah, and these were individuals that in many cases, this is coming after they have, you know, met their mate, that they've had children. They've had all mm-hmm. these various life experiences. They've lost loved ones to illness or death, but then they're given this experience that changes the way they look at the world, and it becomes, in a way, the defining moment of their life.
Yeah, and now I'm not saying that this is apples to apples, that floating is like psilocybin, but
right.
a lot of people have said this is a way to achieve an experience without drugs.
Yeah, it also reminds me, I was looking at another study, Flotation, Rest, and Applied Psychophysiology by Thomas H. Fine and Roderick Borey. And they were looking at the way it can be used in psychotherapy, and they stressed that, you know, you can't just throw somebody into an isolation tank and expect results. That it needs to be paired with a certain amount of prepping, a certain amount of pre-programming and therapy so that they'll have the enter it with the right frame of mind and have the right expectations of it. And that was lining up a lot with some of these studies we've looked at, where they've looked at the use of psychedelics as mm-hmm. Treatment in nicotine addiction, in depression.
End of life care.
People
who have terminal diseases.
Yeah, so priming becomes very important even in this.
I was thinking about that. I thought I'm going to have to do a good amount of priming before I go in. But I wanted to mention this little tidbit from an IO9 article called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Sensory Deprivation Chambers. It says that reports of a heightened sense of introspection and out-of-body experiences by tank users mirror those of people with extensive experience in meditation. So you talked about the Zen Master. Mm-hmm. And both practices have been linked to decreased alpha waves and increased theta waves in the brain. And these are patterns that are typically found in sleeping states. So again, there's this idea that you are resetting your brain, that you are tinkering with it, although without the aid of any sort of hallucinogen or substance.
Yeah. So there you have it. There is some basic intro material there for you to the sensory deprivation tank, what it consists of, how we kind of got here with it, what some of the studies say, what some of its more curious historical tidbits happen to be. And indeed, in the weeks ahead, we're going to set out to enter the sensory deprivation tanks ourselves.
Yes, and we will make sure to follow up. Either in another podcast or video or both, or I don't know.
Yeah, we're still
through
working
your dreams.
The media. Through your dreams is a possibility, yeah. Our new pan-dimensional media option where you can tune in directly to our mind.
Yeah, it's
kind
a total
of a
new,
state.
Cool social media thing.
Yeah, you have to buy your own sensory deprivation tank or rent one mm-hmm. to actually tune in, but it's worth it. It's like a Google Hangout inside your mind. So in the meantime, if you would like to reach out to us, you know the various ways of doing it. Certainly, if you have entered a sensory deprivation tank before and had an interesting experience there, or even a non-interesting experience, either way, let us know about it. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this particular way of shutting down portions of the mind and maybe opening up others. You can find us at the mothership at stufftoblowyourmind.com. You can find us at our Facebook account, where we're Stuff to Blow Your Mind. You can find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind. On Tumblr, we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on there. And over on YouTube, we have a channel that goes by the name Mind Stuff Show.
And you can also drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.